I mean, I was gonna ask because you've mentioned assessment and like assessing a lot and gaps. I just wanted to ask, you know, how do you assess, how do you assess the incremental changes that is needed for your organization to achieve the KPIs or like the OKRs or whatever you're gonna track to get the ROI out of this, you know, digital transformation project. And I would like to just give a throwback to our episode about ROI and digital transformation. And I guess we have talked about it a little, just not in the incremental changes kind of context that we are covering right now. So I wanna, you know, as we said, digital transformation is all building blocks. So we add one more thing. So that's my question.
That way you can start to see where are those gaps. And then again, and then you also start to see those kind of fundamental flaws, right? Like sometimes it's like you have all the technology you need, you just there's like that last mile problem, right? Like there's a few tricky integration points, you know, that they're not lost sunken costs. You invested in a system that could work, you just haven't. Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning and good evening. How are you, Doug?
I'm all good. I'm enjoying a fuzzy peach colored sky. I mean, that's Pantone's color of the year. I think it was fu it name it was fuzzy peach, which is definitely the color of the sky right now. It looks amazing, to be honest, but that's what I'm seeing and enjoying right now. How's your morning so far?
It's been good. Made it to the gym and had some breakfast. Feeling good. We don't have a really colorful sunrise today, but you can see I have my picture of a colorful sunrise in the back.
You know, you work with what you have.
That's right.
And speaking of working with what you have, we did talk in the last episode about a lot of changes and foundational stuff and working with external partners versus, you know, handling projects internally. And we did touch up on a lot of points that I think we need to expand a little bit just to give people more information in case they're going to be engaging in a digital transformation project on some, I wouldn't say sensitive topics, but definitely some topics that, you know, gets people a little bit drowsy and stuff like that. Because not everyone, you know, is on the same boat, I guess. And, you know, it is what it is. But what we're going to be talking about today, and, you know, you have full permission to go full berserk, is if my organization needs an incremental changes or a full transform, like a full organizational transformation? Like, should I? I'm not sure if you have something in English that, you know, it is demolishing the whole city and then building another one, but it definitely feels I don't have one in English. I have one in Arabic, but I don't have one in English. But I would definitely leave it to be honest. Like, so when do I need this? When do I need that? How do I approach this? How do I approach that? And then we'll follow up with another question, which relates to the last, you know, bit in the last episode, which is assessing actually the quality and the scale that you need to work with. But as we go on step by step, let's start with the first question, you know, organizational changes versus incremental changes.
Sure. So I think, one, last time where we really dug into getting foundations right, like data layer, data quality management, just like trying to hammer home the point of the cliche, if you have garbage in, you're gonna have garbage out, and that's true whether you have really simple systems or really sophisticated, expensive systems. And in some ways, the more sophisticated your data and tech environment, the worse the problem gets if you don't have the foundations right. So, that's really crucial to do. And then the question we're kind of that's closely related, kind of moving into today is, yeah, do you need to do you need a demolition job and a clean slate, wipe the slate clean, and kind of rebuild from the ground up, or are there just a few sort of gaps in capabilities that you're trying to fill? Or can and somewhere and then a whole spectrum in between of, can you use the meat and substance of your current technology stack, your current data infrastructure, but do you need to make changes that are of a really substantial kind of scale across the board that are significant and organization-wide. So
Definitely. I
so that
have one remark or like one question, which, you know, how to avoid the sunken cost fallacy. How to, you know, and you will answer this in explaining the both ends and within the spectrum, but how do you avoid the sunken cost fallacy, which can arise from, well, I can fix it. Well, I can fix it. Well, I can fix it. And then you fix it, and, you know, the fallacy continues. So I would count on you on like just giving the people some metrics guidance on how to actually avoid being trapped in a sunken cost fallacy, because this is one of the major pitfalls that people get trapped into. So I just wanted to speak out loud and just say that this will be one of the things that we're gonna be covering in this episode, and I trust you fully on, you know, giving the people what they are here for.
Yeah, so I think so. You mean there's this saying in English, like throwing good money after bad, where if you invest in something, that money is lost, right? And if you continue to throw money at it, in gambling, for example, right? You lost
Oh,
a bad bet and you think you can recover, right? But I mean, the same is
yes.
true. Like, if you've made a bad choice and sunk costs into it, sometimes it can be fixed, but sometimes, yeah, sometimes it wasn't a good investment in the first place, right? So any additional resources you throw at it are not going to make this, they're not going to solve for the use case or the problem you were originally trying to solve for, if it was a fundamentally flawed investment in the first place. And so then, and this is why, going a few episodes back where we talked about doing a current state assessment, why that is really important. Because you do need a clear-eyed, honest assessment of what you're trying to do as a company. So what are the kinds of digital experiences that you're trying to deliver? How are you positioning your product or service? How are you wanting to reach your potential customers? How are you wanting to engage people, once they do become qualified leads or customers, through the various kinds of engagement channels that are available to you, so whether that's a customer engagement platform in the kind of commerce space or a proper marketing automation and lead nurturing machine on the B2B space. But you really need to be prepared to do an honest assessment of this is what we want to do, and more importantly, this is what we need to do to be competitive and relevant. And kind of here's where we are today. Are we falling short? Are we able to check those boxes? Can we honestly say, like, we deliver really exceptional digital experiences? Are we doing the kind of marketing automation that we feel like we should be doing, or are we really doing kind of manual nurturing and calling it automation, right? Are we automating and optimizing our customer engagement channels in a way that is reflected in diminishing churn rates, increasing customer lifetime value, increasing retention and loyalty, right? And if you can honestly answer that in most of those areas that you're trying to deliver, that you are doing that, then you probably only then there probably are going to be a handful of gaps that you need to address. And so it may be that some incremental kind of digital maturity projects, kind of individual, like ad hoc projects, will fill those gaps nicely, which means you also are probably pretty far along that digital maturity kind of curve already. On the other hand, if you have kind of foundational gaps, or a significant number of gaps across those different areas that you've identified as objectives, then we probably are talking about organization level change, truly a transformation type of a situation, right? So if you have foundational data integration or data infrastructure problems, so if you can't properly collect first party data and utilize it in for measurement purposes or media activation purposes, you're probably in need of some transformation, right? If you have customer and lead data sitting in your CRM, but it's completely siloed and cannot flow to any other data systems in a meaningful way, that's a problem. You're going to have big gaps, right? So I think it's understanding that alignment or lack of alignment between what you want and need to do and what you are capable of doing. And then to your original kind of question, it's also kind of understood, like, right, we can't retool our technology infrastructure every 6 months. That's not really effective or efficient or feasible for most organizations, and it's not desirable. But on the other hand, like, part of that honest assessment is, did you invest in something at an earlier stage that has sort of handicapped you or hogtied you a bit, right, in terms of capabilities down the road? And maybe you just didn't think that at the time. You maybe didn't have all the information you needed to know what capabilities you needed, and also the world has changed around you. I guess so. To your point, is understanding it, are there sort of some sunken, unrecoverable, unredeemable, irremediable costs that you're just going to have to sort of decide, okay, this investment in this tech or platform or this commitment to this set of technology was appropriate some period of time, it no longer is. It doesn't have the capabilities we need now and cannot be upgraded or re-implemented in a way that will remedy that. So now you need a different solution, right? Or a set of solutions. So these are kind of all the questions that people need to be asking themselves. Yeah. And I think the world is getting to a point where, some of that dream of a single source of truth is falling by the wayside in terms of having the capability to centralize everything, in such a way that, for example, nobody's going to get all of their paid media insights out of Google Analytics 4, for example, for the simple reason, or for a number of reasons, but one major reason is there's no impression and view data in Google Analytics 4. And yet there's a huge chunk of digital media investment that is in channels that are still largely view and impression based, and that we need a way of assessing the impact of that media, right? And we see, so that's why we see, even Google pushing their large advertisers toward data science based approaches to analyzing media impact, right? Looking at media mix modeling, other aggregate statistical data science based approaches to assessing media performance, right? So there's no real way to get away from needing to change our technology and data infrastructure. It just kind of comes down to I guess to recap it succinctly is, can we fill in gaps meaningfully with just a few kind of projects? And we can kind of dig into the details of what some of those projects might be, but or again, is this a larger foundational organization-wide kind of, are we retooling our entire data infrastructure and the integration with all of our ad tech and, CRM and our, so are we doing a full kind of platform retooling or re-implementation and reintegration, or are we, can we pick two or three projects that would really get us 90 or 100% of the way that, to what we need? So, I'll give you an example. We talk about customer engagement, right? If you do an honest current state assessment and really where you're falling short is on the customer engagement side of things, but you have the data infrastructure you need and the ability to integrate, right? You could onboard a really good customer engagement platform tool, right? And you could, within a relatively short period of time, accounting for the things that we talked about last time, is there is a ramp-up period. There is a realistic time horizon of when you'll start to see benefits from these tools. So when I say incremental change and ad hoc tech maturity projects, I don't mean pay for a product and 2 weeks from now you're seeing amazing returns and you've transformed your business. No, I just mean you don't need to invest in an entire organization-wide change, right? So if you're onboarding a customer engagement tool, you still need to plan for those same kind of runways and ramp-up periods that you would for larger projects. You're still going to need to train your people. You're still going to need to do all of the journey and customer flow mappings. You're going to need to build the customer engagement campaigns, messaging, promotions, offers. Actually build those flows in the platform. Integrate your SMS, your email, push notifications, etc. Some platforms like Airship, they'll do they can even push messaging out to like IoT type connected devices. I'm not saying that would be appropriate for everybody to do, but the capabilities of doing customer engagement messaging are much broader than they ever have been. And then the idea that you can streamline and optimize those channels based on how people respond, what preferences they've indicated. The best
e-commerce sites are already obviously doing good customer engagement. This isn't something new, but there are plenty of organizations still playing catch up in that arena. So again, so if that was the only significant gap in your digital maturity, you could relatively efficiently and quickly bridge that gap and make a big impact on your business. A well-executed customer engagement program compared to a poorly executed or non-existent customer engagement, it's going to make a big difference. You're focusing on your existing customers, which is always more effective than acquiring new customers, assuming you have a product or service worth buying. And so you're going to be, by optimizing those channels, delivering better messaging, better promotions, better everything, timing, cadence, frequency, message frequency, all of those things, right? Respecting, contact preferences, proper segmentation of different tiers of customers, et cetera. You're going to improve your customer lifetime value. You are going to start improving, reducing churn rate, improving retention and loyalty. So I would say, that's a great, if that is a gap, that's a good gap to have, right? Because that is, now you just have this giant lever to pull, and it's a much more bite-sized type of a chunk. I would hesitate to call it low-hanging fruit in the sense, because it is, to do it right, it requires a serious commitment, either working with a really strong partner or bringing the right people, in-house to manage it properly. Again, there is this training and onboarding component that cannot be overemphasized. You either need to hire an expert or you need to train your people who are already skilled and experienced in other arenas, but they may not have this skill set. You're going to have to take that productivity hit to get them to be experts and to have that skill and experience. And it takes time. It doesn't just take exposure to a certification class or training materials. It takes time to develop that expertise. And so it's unfair if you have a smart employee who you think is a jack of all trades to think just because they're a smart, competent person that they're going to immediately become an expert in a new tool, managing new channels, right? So there's a case to be made for at least temporarily bringing on outside, freelance or agency with expertise, a partner to help you onboard the tool, do all that journey mapping, the flows, the campaigns, right? There's a reason why most of these leading customer engagement platforms, there's a reason why they have implementation and support partners, right, in the industry. We work very closely with a platform, Moengage. We help a lot of our clients, get the most out of that platform, get it onboarded properly, implemented properly. So I guess I want to be careful here and to say, just because you're not doing this kind of enterprise digital transformation, these are still significant projects. They have a life cycle, they have a time frame in which you should expect benefits from them. It's much easier to get organizational sign-off and alignment around these smaller scale incremental projects. And like I said, if you're sufficiently far along the kind of digital maturity curve, or if you just simply the nature of your business is you just have a small number of gaps that you're trying to fill, it can be a much more palatable and successfully achievable type of an approach to do these kind of incremental kind of tech maturity projects. And for that matter, one of the interesting things I think, let me pause for a minute
I mean, I was
get
gonna
your
ask
thoughts.
because you've mentioned assessment and like assessing a lot and gaps. I just wanted to ask, how do you assess, how do you assess the incremental changes that is needed for your organization to achieve the KPIs or like the OKRs or whatever you're gonna track to get the ROI out of this, digital transformation project. And I would like to just give a throwback to our episode about ROI and digital transformation. And I guess we have talked about it a little, just not in the incremental changes kind of context that we are covering right now. So I wanna, as we said, digital transformation is all building blocks. So we add one more thing. So that's my
Yeah, so
question.
I think if we take, yeah, no, I appreciate that. So if we take a step back to some of our earlier conversations, right, we're talking about when we do an assessment, we have this rubric, right, of these kind of four pillars of tech, data, processes, and people. So when we do our assessments, those are the dimensions we're looking at, right, and kind of giving a score around. And so it's, again, technology does not equal digital maturity. We've already kind of beat that to death, right? But we're also not naive to the fact that digital maturity does require technology in order, it does enable certain things that are not otherwise possible, right? So you can't really do like embedded AI-based customer engagement optimization without a tool that does that, right? You can't do really sophisticated mobile measurement without a good mobile measurement tool, right? So there are times you do need to add technology to your stack if you don't already have it, or so you need certain capabilities from a technical standpoint that you then apply a process and expertise to, right? To get the most out of that technology. So it's that combination, right? So we're gonna we when we do an ass when we help a client do an assessment and give our sort of input on that and or do the full assessment for them, we're working with their stakeholders, looking at their data, their infrastructure, all these things, right, and coming up with this kind of baseline of where they're at. The important thing is it needs to be tied to, it can't just be a sort of a generic assessment, which I mean that can be fine for certain purposes, but to be really robust, it has to be tied to an actual like organization's specific business objectives, guide down to specific like use cases and scenarios. What are they wanting to do? What do they need to be able to do? Like what kind of target audience, like in their paid media programs, like what kind of audience targeting do you need to be? What kind of media measurement, like down to like nitty-gritty, right? Like on the customer engagement front, again, like I said, IoT, you can actually send IoT messages through customer engagement. Does that mean it's appropriate for all companies to do? Probably not. For most companies, it's probably not appropriate to do, right? But that doesn't mean it's not for some. So it just comes down to really assessing what are you trying to achieve as a company? What do you need to achieve? What are your competitors doing and not doing in terms of delivering really excellent customer experience, in terms of digital experience, UX design? Like, are you the only person in your space that's not doing effective like personalizations and recommendations, right? Are you not like in the B2B space, are you not curating and personalizing any of the content delivery to a prospective lead around what they've identified as what they're interested in, right? Are you, but all of your competitors are, right? Are you just blasting people with generic messages when you're competitors? So that's where having a partner to help with the assessment can sometimes maybe help uncover blind spots that you don't have. Like you think, oh yeah, we're doing fine. We email our prospects, once every week to 2 weeks with nurturing messages, and it's like, oh, but do you tailor those to what that person has told you they're interested in? Oh no, we don't do that. Oh, did you know you can easily do that and automate it? No, we didn't know that, right? So having a partner to bounce things off of is can be really useful. But the bottom line is it has to be a very clear-eyed, honest assessment. It has to be tied to your business objectives and business needs and the competitive set that you're in. And it needs to include, it needs to encompass the detail of like specific use cases and scenarios of what you're trying to do in terms of delivering customer engagement, lead nurturing, you know, depending what space you're in, digital experience, customer experience, UX, the your capabilities around media activation and media measurement. So that way you can start to see where are those gaps. And then again, and then you also start to see those kind of fundamental flaws, right? Like sometimes it's like you have all the technology you need, you just there's like that last mile problem, right? Like there's some tricky, there's a few tricky integration points, you know, that they're not lost sunken costs. They're you just you invested in a system that could work. You just haven't you haven't tied all the tracks together yet, right? Like so you need to do some additional integration work, or maybe you need to make your data collection more robust, more consistent. There, right? So, but once you tie those clear business objectives, use case scenarios, to your current capabilities, then you start to uncover those sort of those gaps and flaws, and you also start. That's where you also start to see. It's like, oh, hey, we've really only had like a very small handful of critical but not insurmountable kind of technical issues we need to do, or maybe uncover to take it back to our foundational piece. Like maybe your data collection practices are just crap. Like maybe you don't have good processes in place, so your data is unreliable, inconsistent. But maybe you have the infrastructure, exactly the infrastructure you need, right? Which that's a good thing. That's you know that's training. That's adding some discipline and rigor, more collaboration, having a shared set of you know a shared measurement framework, data dictionary, consistent data collection, data quality management. Right? Not that those are easy, but they're the investment is in sort of people and processes at that point, and not more technology. Right? So. So
Yeah.
that's so to me it you know it comes down. I don't think there's a magic number where if you say, oh, well, you have sort of five ad hoc problems you need to solve, or you have seven and a half, you know, ad hoc problems you need to solve, now you need digital transformation. I think it's more of kind of a scale, right? A spectrum. If you have a small number of gaps, a small number of kind of solvable technology, data, process, or people problems, those are then sort of incremental projects are probably the way to go. And just bite, you know, chew them up, chew them and eat those problems and you know, fix them. If you have, you know, the you start getting a larger set of gaps, or also those kind of fundamental foundational problems where you can't fix them by investing further in what you currently are doing, transformation. Interestingly, though, when we create a digital transformation, like a roadmap, a strategic roadmap, and then the guidebook that's like down to the tactical level details, we actually, even if it's a big project with a lot of scope, we still try to break it down into prioritized individual technology, process, people, data projects that are executable, measurable, and you know, easily digestible, right? So you still try to break it, even that bigger kind of a journey down into more accessible pieces, component parts, right? So that's sort of in a nutshell. I guess our approach.
For around 40 minutes of nutshell.
It's a very big walnut.
I guess people have enough information to go over to go through to us do the assessment for themselves or use external help. But I feel like people now have better understanding of what they should do, how should they do it, and the approaches that we take, and we definitely recommend you should, you might consider something like them. So I think, I'll just segue to the next episode and we'll end this one. So next episode will be something sweet. Sweet that is going away. What might that be? Cookies and the cookie lips. Cookie lips? I think it was cookie lips. Cookie apocalypse. Cookie lips. We'll figure it out in the next episode. So stay tuned and join us in the next episode. Thank you so much, Patrick, for joining me, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Sounds good. See you soon, David.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.